Hey, and welcome to another round of the Rugby Report Card. This week, we have Blake. How are you, mate?
Good, buddy. Real good. How are you, Richard?
Oh, good, thanks, mate. And also, Jim, how are you, mate?
Chipper.
Chipper. Well, both of you do sound chipper. So this week, we're going to do a quick review. We've had the first few rounds. Obviously, four rounds of the Super Rugby.
Yeah, we're 4 weeks in. We know the blueprint and where it's going.
Yeah, don't we? Yeah, I think it would be like a good opportunity to sort of give a bit of an overview of how the Aussie teams are doing. What do you think about that, boys?
I reckon that's a cracking start.
Some of your best material.
Provided we don't miss the opportunity to launch the Super W, which starts.
Absolutely.
Yeah, as long as we don't have to talk about the Six Nations, then I'd really appreciate that. Or Antonio Conte's rant about my Spurs also. That would be great if we can avoid that.
I reckon we wrap it up with some Six Nations, how shit are England overview. It'll be great.
Oh, awesome.
End on a high.
Really looking forward to that. Just remember, you bleed rose, Jim, especially when they're winning. Just remember that. Right, let's start off with some of the takeaways. So the five Aussie teams. Let's just do very quickly the Waratahs. We've had four rounds now. To me, there's some concerns. Too many injuries, obviously, that had an impact, but lack of consistency in selection. It was odd to go away to the Canes and obviously make those changes. We always talk about cohesion. Jim's written a book about it.
Absolutely. Culture.
So there's a lot of question marks about the Tars, and it's a big week for them coming up against the Chiefs at home, one of the unbeaten sides, because we all were swinging off the Tars at the beginning of the season, and they're not producing at the moment.
This is a D if we're going by the common grade scale.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the start that they would have wanted. Absolutely not. One win over the Drua, even though the Drua are playing some fantastic football, gentlemen, I'll know you'll agree.
Absolutely.
It's just not the start. The loss to the Rebels is a fail. It's a fail mark this far in, and it's only going to get tougher. But, I'll say it, but they're still a good team, man. They're still quite a good team with a lot of potential, a lot of growth to come. Might they swing it by the end? Fuck, I reckon. Odds are.
And that's the thing. They have got a lot of individuals that are playing well. When Gleeson, is going forward, he looks a good player. Hooper is Hooper. Even the backs,
How quick is he, eh?
Yeah.
Gleeson Lightning, man.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of potential in there, but those injuries have killed the Tars. Not having Bell, not having a few others, even just having the lack of consistency in the back row with Gamble coming in and Harris and all the others. So I'd agree. The Waratahs are struggle street at the moment, and you don't actually see them winning for a while, because obviously after the Chiefs.
Very good team.
They then probably lose to the Brumbies, who will come to them later. And then
I've got that pegged as their first win.
Ooh,
yeah, if you check my account.
Oh, no, you're wrong, did you?
Yeah. What do you think, Blake? We've had 4 weeks in. What's your review of the task?
Well, I think I said at week one, without Bell, they're going nowhere. And that's exactly what's happening. They can't match it up front. And they're struggling as a result. I actually think, I know we're getting it through all the Aussie teams, but and I've tried to be the optimistic cat on this podcast. I know I've poo-pooed you, Richard, whenever you've wanted to have a go at Australian rugby. But I genuinely feel and there's a lot to like about the Force, lots to like about the Rebels.
Lots to like.
Shown moments. But I genuinely, from watching the rugby quite closely, quite intently.
You watch close.
I haven't felt like an Australian team has felt competitive against the Kiwi side.
Haven't felt it.
Even when they felt competitive, it's just felt inevitable. The defeat. Oh,
they've never felt competitive.
It's that 50, 60-minute thing and it's all over. I'm a bit gutted 4 weeks in, to be honest. I mean, my beautiful Brumbies are still going strong. But the other Aussie teams, we'll get into each and every one of them. But, you believe and there's hope and then it all falls apart. It all falls apart with 20 to go. And the Tars are following that same script. Like you said, Richard, moments of individual brilliant, moments of individual talent. There just isn't consistent execution. There isn't consistent physicality.
Well, if I can jump in there, you watch the first 20 of that Canes-Tars game, and the Canes defense, Tars all the momentum, all the front football, but you just weren't busting it. Mm-hmm. You just weren't busting it easy.
But I guess that's my point, though, right? It's just that you take any 20-minute snapshot out of the Rebels, the Force, or the Tars, and you think, fuck, there's potential here. And there is definitely potential. But I think we were all hoping this is the season one of them delivered. None of them look like the finished article. And I know we'll get to Ireland later. And maybe their players are better than we give them credit for, the Irish players. But they're just a team that plays 80 minutes, who knows their identity. And, I mean, that's exactly what you can say about the Brumbies. Doesn't mean matter who's in or out. They're a team who knows their identity. The Tars, for all the bluster of last season, it doesn't feel like they know their identity. Donaldson to 10, I didn't hate it. But, man, you 10 said 3 weeks. Edmonds had 3 weeks, and now you've hooked him. I think he's injured now, so he can't come back anyway. Seemed like a crazy plan. Donaldson had a shocker as a result. And Dolo, I love the dude, mate. Seems like such a great character. Just doesn't look up to it.
No, he doesn't. He's like when Latrell Mitchell came back that one off season.
Just, yeah, like, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't want to tackle the bloke, but he just doesn't seem up to it. And the tight five, just not big enough, not strong enough. And Hooper, as much as we froth him, this is the quietest I've ever seen Michael Hooper on the football field. And then my understanding is Gamble's injured,
Gleeson's
injured, Hannigan's injured, Jorgensen's injured, Edmund's injured, Nadolo's injured going into next round.
What is doing, man?
So, I don't know, unless I got that mail wrong, I think they're in a fucking world of hurt, the Waratahs.
It's like the NBA. They're not injured. They just don't want to play.
Don't get me wrong. I still reckon there's still the potential there for them to have a big second half of the season. But they're playing so bad. You're playing Noonga Niitawasi or Parise or Fekete out of a Wallaby jersey at the moment.
And the thing is just about just to continue with the Tars. And you're right, they might have a change around. Five of their final eight games, I think, are home. So maybe we're being a bit harsh on them because they've just had that one home game. And the one home game was the Brumbies, where obviously they lost. But I think one of the more damning statistics from the weekend, and it's run through it's been a bit of a train.
Give me the stats.
I love a stat, Richard. I'm getting excited.
You know, the Waratahs had, 30% more carries than what the Hurricanes did. They pretty much ran the same amount of meters.
Give it to me as a fraction, Richard. I want a fraction.
a decimal.
They had more passes than what than 176 versus 143 in terms of passes. They had more ball. Ooh. They just didn't do anything with it, and they're losing contact. And I think it goes back to your point about the forwards and about the lack of not being clinical enough. They're all those things, and that will come with time. And because of the chopping and changing of the team due to injuries and poor selection and stuff like that, that's one of the major problems that the Tars have at the moment. Just
shining light for me, though, the hooker, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
By Ananu or whatever his name. I thought he was outstanding. Don't get me wrong. I want Tolulata on that field every minute of the game. But I thought that the hooker was exceptional on the weekend.
He's a shining light. Absolutely, he was.
Jorgensen continues to play like he's played 100 games and he's 27 years old. He's incredibly impressive. Still a lot of hope there for Tars fans, but it's undeniable. It's been a train wreck to the start of the season, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I think a team that hasn't had a train wreck at the start of the season, it's been the Rebels, because obviously they lost at the weekend, but I thought it was a great game for them, hugely entertaining, and they started off on fire, and then the Chiefs came back. But for them right at the moment, where do we place them on the common grade scale?
C on the common grade, and this is because they lost to the Force in round one, a game they probably should have won. They beat the Tars, which is pass mark. But look, then you can't lose by 20 points to the Chiefs, even though the Chiefs are a great team.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs are underrated. I reckon they're not far off the form Kiwi side to start the season off. I think they're pretty good. So I reckon you got to keep that in mind. But look, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I thought the Rebels played really, really well. I thought they were incredibly competitive. I was fucking up and about, mate. And they still lost by 20. This is my point, right? Like, there's hope and optimism and rose-coloured Australian eyes, which is what I had during this game. I was so excited about so many of the Rebels, namely Carter Gordon, the man with two names, how good he was. They still lost by 20. They still lost by 20. Not by two. Not by
throw a zero on.
They lost by 20.
Yeah, well, it was 19, but yeah, round up.
I think the thing is, and it's going to be a common theme throughout it, and maybe Hardwick aside, because I think he's had a really good start to the season, getting over the ball. It seems like the old Richard Hardwick, you know, back in his 7 days, but he's just got a bit bigger. But the pack is, again, is not good enough for 80 minutes. The players that are coming off, the impact players, whatever phraseology you want to say, they're not making the difference and not providing enough good flat ball for the or front football for the backs to play in the latter stages.
Missing Callaway too, I think.
Mm.
I'd be excited if I was a Rebels fan. Carter Gordon's playing great. Illy's playing great. Hodge, I think he got injured on the weekend, but he hasn't played this well for years.
Man, are all these names legitimately going down?
What's that?
All these names, they're out, are they? Or is this just like...
I believe so. I think it was a pretty rough round for injuries for the Australian players. I don't think any of them are long term.
Nah.
But they're out for a week or two. But they still lost by 20.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We can come on here and we can spin it. And I know the Australian fans want us to spin it. And I know we want to spin it. And something about the Rebels I'm liking this year, they still, I don't know if I've said that yet, they still lost by 20.
Yeah, no, you didn't.
It's actually 19, wasn't it, right, Jim?
But you round up. They are playing with a lot more heart than they have had in seasons past. They really are. I think across the board, all the Aussie teams are playing with a little more get there than we've seen in seasons past. Now, I don't know if that's the Eddie effect. I don't know if it's because it's a World Cup year. Yeah, we're still losing by 19, 20 if you round up. But we're showing up, man, you know. The first 20 minutes, it's anyone's game. It's a good spin.
Yeah, but my problem is it's anyone's game till 50. Mm-hmm. What is that psychology where you just capitulate with half an hour to go?
I think part of it is not only psychology, but I think it's actually quality and depth. And we don't want to get into the argument about the number of teams or the depth and what have you. But
we're about to find out with all these injuries.
Yeah, but the players that are in that, you know, the players coming off the bench, there's a drop in the quality, you know, whereas you watch a Kiwi game and the players that are coming on are of equal standard or only slightly below the standard that they're replacing, and that's a big issue.
And I don't know if coaching is a simple enough term for it, but the Brumbies, you feel like anyone's out, whoever comes in plays the same role as the bloke who came out. With these other teams, whether it's the guy coming off the bench or the different guy coming into the squad, they literally play the game differently. There just seems to be no collective identity.
So what's their if they're a C grade at the moment, they're sound. What's one thing the Rebels need to do to probably
they're sound by the Rebels standards though, aren't they?
Yeah. But what do they need to do
E by anyone else's?
No, they're better than the Tars right now. What's one thing you reckon they need to work on? And you can't just say finishing a game off. Is it just execution? What's one thing that's gonna get them from a sound to a high within this, do you reckon?
Playing 80 minutes, God, that's a cliche, isn't it? But genuinely, they play a good 50.
Mm.
But even to the Canes game, they came back from behind.
50, just a different 50.
To leave on a positive, yeah, you're right. I think Carter Gordon is definitely benefiting from having game time and the trust.
God, he looks good, doesn't he? He's really, really exciting, man. I'd be looking closely at that kid.
And the fact that he knows
big dude.
He knows he's in that position every week. I don't think he is.
Is he not tall? Fuck, he looks tall.
No.
His haircut must be tall to you, buddy.
His haircut must be adding a couple of inches.
Yeah, he's definitely standing next to Lauren, so that's what makes him tall. But yeah, definitely.
He runs lanky. I think that's what I'm picking up. He runs as if he's lanky.
It's a good attribute for a fly half to run lanky.
Lanky sounds slow.
I think
slow.
So too. If you go back and like really look at the good fly halves of the years gone by, you'll find that most, if not all, run lanky. I'd like you to get some stats on that, Richard.
I'd love to. Zero is the answer. 0%.
He ran lanky.
Sam Norton Knight ran lanky.
Oh, didn't he run lanky?
Deborah Sini runs lanky.
That we definitely have.
These are some great lanky runners. My gosh.
All those years when I was the tall beanpole being called lanky, then definitely that means I was running quickly, because unlike the giraffe slow lolloping along that what it means in our land, lanky means. But anyway. moving on to the Brumbies, obviously they've done the business. They've looked the most complete. They've beaten everyone that's in front of them. Do they actually get an A grade, or are they still not reaching their potential due to lack of defence that's been shown on time? Haven't quite clicked completely. Where do they sit on the scale for you, Blake, right now? Taking your Brumbies rose-tinted glasses off.
I didn't love on the weekend conceding 36 points, and I was nervous at halftime, tit for tat in this one. But, mate, they've been flawless. What can you say? They're 4-0. And they've done it with a chopping and changing squad. They've clearly shown that that there's depth in that squad. There's a sense of identity. There's a sense of cohesion. I love what Larkham's doing with the 9 and 10 straight swap and the front row straight swap. It's like he's drunk from the cult of cohesion and seems to want them coming on together. I think the back three, whilst not the authentically most dangerous blokes, they're all lightning. Muirhead and Tool, and Wright's playing really well at fullback. I think the only question mark for me at the Brumbies right now is maybe the centres when Iquitel's out. And I think he's got a bub on the way. But I thought Sapsford was great on the weekend. I don't think he's an authentic 13, but I thought he was outstanding on the weekend. Toa at 12 hasn't convinced me yet. But he hasn't really put too much of a foot wrong either, mate. Lot to like about him, and I think most pleasing is Valentini and Frost really making every post a winner and looking like every bit a world-class forward. I don't know. Just not too much complaint about the Brummies. Wish they didn't concede so many, but I don't know. What else could you want from them? 4-0.
Mate, you can only mark what's in front of you. 4 wins. 0 losses.
Are you trying to say, Richard, that the task wasn't in the A range? They haven't been given an A range task. They
yeah, but we all need
to get an A yet.
But we all
can you give them some feedback on that, Richard.
We all know that you only mark from what you've been presented with. So if they've shown an A range within the information that they've provided you or you've provided with them so far, then they're an A because they've done everything that you would want.
And they beat the Blues. What more can you want?
100%. That's where they got it.
What?
That's where they got the A.
Yeah, that's where they showed their worth, demonstrated. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought Moana were impressive on the weekend, but you can't concede 62 points. But wasn't it a treat watching Lealeafana run around in Canberra again?
Yeah, it was fantastic. You know, he's added so much, and I love the honesty that the boys spoke about, how much he's been a mentor, someone they looked up to. You know, shows what an impact he had on them, both on the rugby field but also off it as well. So great to see him back as well.
And I thought even the way he spoke in the post-game about the Brumbies, I'm going to go as far as to say, I know it's piss off some Aussie fans, they're the only team that feels like a club in Australia at the moment, not a professional contract. Like, they seem to genuinely have an identity. It'd just be nice if, you know, someone showed up to their games.
Wouldn't it be nice? Get down there.
It's interesting. I'd love to know what is the answer to that. You know, you're a Canberrian gym. Like, is it further engagement with the community? What is it? What do they need to do?
I think they do their bit with engaging in the community. In fact, they even run for local politics. I don't know. I really don't know why bums aren't on seats down there. Because they've changed the schedule around, they've put more appealing times on, they get great competition, they win rugby games, they're handing out free shit, they're doing cool stuff at halftime.
Can't even bitch about the Roland Mall anymore.
Yeah, Brumby Jack's doing his bit too. I don't know why they don't get down there. I don't know.
It's not even that cold.
Is it the $5 parking? Maybe that's it.
How would you rate the season if we did this 1 week later? This is obviously projecting, but the Brumbies play the Crusaders in Christchurch next week. Do they have to win to continue the A grade?
Yeah, we're not just giving out A's, Richard.
Yeah, you got to earn it.
Some faculties do.
I think it's totally understandable to not be the Crusaders at home, but. No, you want to be in the A range, you've got to win.
Yeah, got to win.
Talking about not being in the A range, sorry, the segue is to obviously the next Aussie team. Where do we place the Western Force, which was obviously the next round that we were that involved the Aussie team that weekend? Where do we place the Force? Losing to the Highlanders, which we've said are clearly the worst Super Rugby New Zealand team. Obviously in Invercargill, which is a tough place to go, not obviously normal Dunedin, but where did the Force go? Because they've had a huge turnover of players. They've had like 11 new players, I think, start this year. So there's going to be a lot of turnover, but where do we...
Unlucky on the weekend, the Force. I think they copped it a bit with the whistle. And I reckon this is the one that got away and they're going to kick himself. They should have won this game. It was a very important game for their season, I think. Highlanders are shit. Mm. And the Force showed up. They had a pretty decent team named. I thought Stewart played really well. Their front row in the last 30 just got destroyed. And then the Highlanders just marched upfield.
Mm.
Just play 80 minutes, man, and you win this game. They're a tough team to know where they're at. Because they were created this year effectively. So in moments you see some serious talent, but you can't really see what they're about just yet. They just need to pick and stick for 5 years, don't they? And they've got enough youth to do it. I thought Hamish Stewart looked really, really good on the weekend, which was pleasing. I don't know what to tell you. You know, they should have won this one.
What's the grade, mate? Speak around the bush. Huh?
How can it be above a D?
It's definitely a C, mate. They got 2 from 4 wins.
And also they've had 11 starters, I think, in that first round. I think it has to be sound progress.
They've had 2 wins.
They beat the Rebels, mate.
Oh, yeah, go the Force. They're going all right.
Yeah, it has to be at least a C. Because, again, the number of players...
50 points.
flash in the pan.
An anomaly. Okay, it's an anomaly. There was too many variables at play. All right, do you want to move on to...
an odd team with a good squad. I have no idea where the Force are going to end up this year.
They'll just keep running this trajectory, I imagine.
Yeah.
About a 50% win rate.
I think they'd take that, wouldn't they, in the final 8 games of the season? They'd probably take a 50% win, right? Because, again, as you said, it's growing into the future. It's moving forward. Talking about moving forward is the Reds in a scrappy game this weekend, obviously, followed on from the trouncing they gave the Force last week. Where do they sit at the moment? Because 1 week they look fantastic. Then the next week they look very competitive against the Brumbies. And another week they struggle to beat the Drill. Where do they sit, Jim, on the old grading?
Look, it's rocks or diamonds when it comes to them. You know, people were swinging off the James O'Connor from his 20 minutes off the bench and how quick everyone was to be, he runs on. But, look, he couldn't steer the ship like they were telling me. But I reckon the Reds themselves, like, you can't give this team a B, can you? Can you give them a B, Blake?
No, they're a bit of a mess, the old Reds. I think they're not without their own injuries. And I think they're much like the Tars, missing Bell, they're missing Tupou. Their front row seems a bit of a mess at the moment, but it's not a bad weekend to have it that way against the Drua. O'Connor had a shocker. You're absolutely right there, Jim. I thought Fluke had a sensational game on the weekend. They had plenty of injuries, right? They had Tyre out, they had Basami out, missing lots of players. Man, it feels like a cop-out. I know it sounds like I'm just shitting on Brad Thorne, but tell me I'm wrong, boys. They seem like a team with the best athletes, the best athletes in the country who don't play as a team. They just don't seem to play as a team to me, the Reds. It's just moments of individual brilliance.
It's not a club, is it?
Doesn't feel like a club. That's how it seems. And if Harry Wilson was great on the weekend, I thought Fluke was great on the weekend. I thought O'Connor was awful. But it just feels like they're not firing as a machine right now, the Reds. Now, we know when they do fire as a machine, there's plenty of players there. Like they could still threaten. I'm just not sure if they've got the front three to do that.
Haven't we got some eights throwing their hand up?
Yeah, haven't we? haven't we? I thought Harry Wilson was sensational on the weekend and has been all season. He's just got those couple of errors in his game.
Runs lanky.
I don't know, Jim. I don't know about that. I can't give it. I'll give you Jock Campbell runs lanky.
Yeah, he runs lanky.
I'll give you that. But I don't know about Wilson. What do you reckon, Richard, about the old Reds?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to like about them, but you've hit the nail on the head. They're consistently inconsistent. You never know what they're going to get, and that comes from structures and processes, and unfortunately, it's not there. So need a lot of improvement from them because they have the capacity to go deep in this competition, and I just don't see it happening.
And without being a nag, Nelly, it was a big weekend for Oz Rugby. No local derbies, so 5 Pacific Islander games.
Mm.
We lost all of them to the Kiwi sides, and we scraped the Drua and conceded 36 against Pacifica. Just didn't feel like an amazing weekend.
Mm.
Had you got us the week before, we might have been a bit more up and about. But I don't know. I left a little bit bummed. Some of my pre-season optimism starting to dwindle. And I think I said at week one, right, the depth of our squads isn't there. We need to not have injuries, and we're having injuries.
Mm.
Whereas I think the Kiwi sides can just cover it that bit better.
Mm, I would agree with that. So overall, Australian rugby, if you had to, you know, cumulatively add them all together, obviously, and put them in one of the grey bands for Australian rugby so far in terms of
Super Rugby. Thank God for the Brumbies, but I've got them at a bottom C, but I think I started the season with a high B in terms of optimism, so I'm hurting.
Yeah.
How about you boys?
Yeah, I got them as a C.
Yeah, I think just sound. We all went in with the anticipation that this was going to be, the Brumbies were always going to be competitive. We thought the Tars would be better. We thought that the Reds would be moving in the right direction. So I agree. Their progress has been stunted by injuries, coaching changes, etc. So it has to be seen. It has to be an overall C at the moment.
Best ability is availability.
Mm, absolutely. Talking of something that... Talking of something that won't be a C grade, I'm super excited about the Super W that's starting this week. It's great the fact that Australian rugby has put money into the women's rugby this year as well. So we've actually got contracted women, which is long overdue. So and obviously there are going to be lots of double headers with the Super Rugby competition as well. So it's good that looking forward to seeing how that
competition develops. Who's your tip to win the
dub? Super W.
Do you know what the Force have a great chance. They've made a number of signings this year. No real excuses for them to make the final. But obviously
the Tars will march it in, surely.
Or the Reds as well. They'll be trying to force their way back as well. So I think it's a pretty open competition. But there'll be a few dark horses, I think, this year. So, and 12 games is a good amount of games. You'd want to see more, but it would be a great competition, I'm sure.
Can't wait. Bring it on.
Mm.
Live on Stan.
Yeah, absolutely. Get down to the games, you know. Double headers are going to be galore. And that final series at Concord Oval will be exciting as well later on in this.
The newly refurbished.
Yeah, absolutely. So the semi-finals will be down in that and at Concord. So, yeah, exciting times. And again, the money that's been put in is a... You know, it's long overdue. So hopefully the Wallaroos will improve in their quality.
Few new stadiums going around.
Isn't there?
Mm.
Absolutely.
There no is. Pay rise for teachers, but a few new stadiums.
It's all worth it at day's end, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Obviously, we'd have to wrap this up early. So thank you. I'm in charge of the recording right now. So, sorry, guys. Thank you very much. And
none of that, Richard. Six Nations. We've got to give it up. Ireland, mate, got the grand slam done and got to do it at home. Pretty, pretty special stuff.
You couldn't write it.
And nothing better than Ireland peaking year out from the World Cup. It's just poetry, top to bottom. Really enjoyed the Six Nations this year. I love the package with Stan because it is hard with a little one to catch all the games, but being able to watch those extended highlights, fantastic. I did watch...
You don't get the rush, but...
You don't get the rush. I did watch England and Ireland in full this week.
Did you get any rush?
You
get a rush?
And, fuck, broken record here, but my rush was over as soon as that atrocious red card came out. It was just game over at that point. It was just watching someone bleed out at that. It wasn't a competition anymore. It really sucks, man. Those cards really, really sucks. I found
Did you think it was deserving?
No, of course I fucking didn't think it was deserving. When have I ever thought a red card was deserving, let alone that shit? Jesus Christ. It's just such a shame.
I got one for you. I can't remember who it was, but some crooner came out and was running that the state of England rugby is a direct indictment on the Eddie regime. He burnt it to the ground.
That's Woodward, isn't it? Because he just hates him.
Yeah. Do you reckon there's anything there, Richard, with that statement?
Oh, geez. I think it was more telling than I was reading an article the other day about a lot of issues with grassroots and it being too much. I don't know the ludicrous nature of this statement, but there was too many ex-pros and too much emphasis being played on short-term success at the younger range rather than long-term focus of player development, skill-based learning, cohesion, all that kind of stuff. That was the one that kind of resonated more with me. I think in terms of Eddie, he is fiery, but I don't know. And I think he had run his course. I still think he shouldn't have been fired. I said that right at the beginning, but I think you could tell that he'd probably run his course. But I think to throw it all on Eddie or conversely throw it all on Steve Borthwick is not fair. I think if you look back at the beginning of Eddie,
Borthwick does suck that, doesn't he?
Yeah, I don't think he's. I think if you look back from when Eddie took over, I don't know enough about it, but please tell me. I don't think there's been enough of a cultural shift or grassroots development to bring it up because we're in a very similar position now to what we were with when Eddie first took over. It's just the fact that the revisionist history says that we're prisoners of the moment, sorry, and saying that right now we suck. When Eddie was there, then we did well because we got to a World Cup final, but then we sucked beforehand. So I don't think there's no long-term development or long-term plan, it seems, from the outside. So
it seems like this is the natural life cycle of English rugby, though.
It just should be consistent.
Suck heaps and put it on for 1 year, usually.
And go back to sucking.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's where England and the RFU take in the most money from all the nations around the world. You know, there is enough money to be able to put coaching plans and all the support systems in place. So something needs to change big picture wise rather than just the Elite 15. But I'd just like to go back to the Freddie Stewart one. Jim, Jim and Blake, I'd actually ask you to be honest. I understand the ludicrous nature kills the game, etc. What do you think was actually going through his mind, though? Like at that moment, like as a because he turns his body, and I understand there's the argument he's just protecting himself. But why do you think he didn't just go for a tackle? Like I'm genuinely asking. Like it was a strange choice. Wouldn't you agree, Blake?
Mate, it's a rugby collision. The ball had just bounced up. He naturally wanted to protect his own body. I don't even think you've got a chance to process the speed in which those guys are operating at. It's vintage Jaco Piper to just throw out a card and make it about himself. If we want it out of the game and blah, 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 you all know my feelings on that. That's fine. Deal with it after the game or have the player replaced. But the game was over at that point. And it just killed the spectacle for me, and it just reminded me that that's fucking where this next World Cup's headed, isn't it?
Yeah.
Card in a semi-final or a final.
But you could argue it was strange, though, and I agree with your point, by the way, both your points. But it was interesting. We said this before the last World Cup, and it was they kind of refereed the group stage.
Yeah, really they hard. Stopped doing it in the World Cup, didn't they, after the group stages?
Yeah, and then they realised they didn't want to, in inverted commas, ruin or make the thing that determined the World Cup final, and then they changed the way they refed.
Which is absurd.
They do that shit in all the big sporting events.
I just thought it was a real shame for England. Even, and I know this sounds ridiculous, but a real shame for Ireland too. Like, I know they probably don't care, but it just felt like they didn't just get a smash it and win, which they probably would have anyway. They were playing that well.
Yeah, but the other thing, the red card happened at, look, it might have, but you're right. It takes a layer off because they'd have probably won, but it was 10-9 at that point. I think they would have probably loved it more. I think it was 10-9. They would have loved it more by grinding out a 15-15, you know, and really earning that victory rather than the narrative being, well, it wasn't a game anymore. It was 15-14. Yeah.
That's it, you mate. Preach.
So, I hate it. I have to say, the Six Nations as a whole, I think it shows it's still a great competition. I think it's the best competition.
It's a great competition. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think it's amazing. But I'd also think it shows that there is the difference in styles. And I know it's very hard to compare because Super Rugby is not international. But even when two international teams from the Southern Hemisphere play, I love the clash of styles. But I think there is a bit of a gap between the North and the South. But it'd be interesting to see, have the North peaked too soon? Have France and Ireland peaked too soon? And are they going to go out in the quarterfinal stages because New Zealand, you know, or anyone else, South Africa, pumped them? You know,
two quick comments from me. One is, my God, it's a slower game than the Super Rugby. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with the new scrum rules and new kicking rules has really sped up Super Rugby. And Super Rugby's always been quick. There's never as many shots at penalty goal. Even when we had Ben Alexander here, who spoke about needing to drop weight for Super Rugby and then put it back on for international rugby.
Yeah.
I think it showed that all of those decisions in Super Rugby have been a winner for the spectacle. Don't get me wrong, the Six Nations spectacle was better because of the stakes. But stakes aside, I think the Super Rugby spectacle stuff, but I think it's going to come back and bite Australia and New Zealand. I think a World Cup in France is going to be fucking slow. It's going to be cold and it's going to be big humans. And I think our Super Rugby comp with guys running at a million miles an hour. Well, anyway, European conditions.
It's cold, man. It's cold.
I think it's we're making a better product for watching on TV right now, but we're doing ourselves a big disservice come the World Cup. That's one comment I wanted to make. And then the other comment I wanted to make is, you've got to give it up to Ireland because you look at their squad and it really is a bunch of Super Rugby rejects, a couple of Aussies, a couple of Kiwis, a couple of South Africans.
Couple of freaks.
A couple of you know, Van der Flier, South African, let's be honest, but Sexton, I thought Sheehan at hooker was incredible on the weekend, a couple of absolute freaks. But you look at their team and you still think, oh, it's not that much on paper. And they've even put up with injuries. But they clearly are better than we give them credit for, and they're clearly thriving in that setup.
But also on the other end of that coin, should we calm down a bit, man? That's Wales, Italy,
red card,
England. Like, the competition's not hot, is
it? Beat France, let's be honest.
Once. You have to play them three times when they come down here. Like, it's like, don't get me wrong, Ireland are a great team and they beat the Kiwis the year before and they run the floor through us. But to start running around thinking that they're hot favourites or anything like that, like, there's a lot of rugby to be played.
Yeah, it's
a
great achievement.
But there's actually not. For those Northern Hemisphere players, obviously, I understand there's a lot of club rugby to be played. For those Northern Hemisphere players, there isn't that much international rugby left before, obviously, the
friendlies.
Pretty much. You know,
it's Georgia and stuff.
Because the thing is, you know, they obviously down here, you've got the Tri Nations, the Rugby Championship, but the fact of the matter is that was the last big tournament. So Ireland have refined those, England, France, etc., have not got that many games before they start. So it'd be interesting to see how they go. But the Ireland remind me of the Brumbies. You look at the Brumbies individually, yep. They're not like outstanding individuals, but they just come together within that collective.
Good system.
And it's a Brumbie steering the ship over there, David Nusafora.
No, it's Farrell, isn't it?
He's the coach, but Nusafora is the brains behind the centralisation.
Wow.
There you go.
But now, great setup. Good on them, Ireland. Can't wait for you to be knocked out of the quarters.
What a way.
I don't think we get too many Irish fans listening to this anyway, do we?
We're going to find out.
You got no Welsh left, but this. Where are they now? Where are you now, Welsh fans?
Please send all messages to Twitter to Blake, please, for his attention. Let's go quick projection forward to next week with the Super Rugby fixtures. Another exciting week to come. Let's just start off with Crusaders Brumbies. Who are you at, Jim?
Saders, baby.
Blake?
Heart, boys, Brumbies.
Okay.
Really? Are you legit? Like, legitimately think that's going to happen?
No, mate, he's shaking his head. We're on Zoom. You can all see that.
Audio, videos, two different things, boys.
Tars Chiefs. By the way, I'm going to Saders as well. Chiefs, I still think, are very good, so I'll go to the Chiefs on this one. What do you reckon?
Chiefs, 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 Chiefs.
Yeah.
Tars are back to well and truly against the wall now, but that injury run looks horrible. So, Chiefs.
Okay, Highlanders, Drua.
Ooh.
Drua could do this. Highlanders.
Hang on, Drua.
Are you sure about that? Do you want to, you know, think about it at all by any chance? Pacifica Canes, where are we going with that?
The line on this one's 18.
On the Canes?
Yeah.
Yeah, still going Canes, mate. They don't win by 18.
Yeah.
Rebels, Reds, game of the round, probably.
This is a game of rugby, this. Yeah.
Well, they're all games of rugby, mate.
Well, the quality last weekend was pretty shit. Tell you what, Reds are firm favourites, $1.30.
Firm favourites. I'm thinking that too.
I'm probably still leaning the Reds, you'd think, wouldn't you?
Safe money's Reds, but, you know, that home ground advantage, that the voice of the crowd at Amy Park, is that going to get them over the edge?
Yeah, six or seven people bellowing.
Yeah, I reckon the roar that will remunerate around the park will spur the Rebels on. So I'm going to
Been starved since the Super Round.
Yeah,
they'll get there in numbers, Richard, and get them home.
Absolutely. And the last game of the round is Blues Force.
Should have won last week, Force. Now the line is 22 points here. Can the Force get within 22?
Yes.
Like they're $1.02. That's big.
Mate, you may as well put your house on it.
Please do. Could you show me a screenshot of you putting
your house? I will literally come on the podcast next week and just knife and fork my hat if the Force win this.
Good, because you
ketchup, straight hat, man.
Bit of salt.
All right. Well, there we go. We got all the games in. So another great week for Australian rugby next week. At least two are playing each other. They might win. All right, boys. Thanks for this week.
An honour.
Always an honour, Richard.
Oh, thanks, boys. All right. Catch you next week.
All right.